Welcome back from the coffee break. You're the most cooperative group of delegates I have ever experienced, ever. I mean, you tolerate that we're running a little bit long on the agenda. You're bringing forward questions, which is great. I say 10 minutes for the coffee break, and virtually everyone is back here in 10 minutes. That never happens. So I wish I had prizes to give away at the end of the day, but maybe we'll think of something creative to do before lunch. Thank you. What I want to do is we have three more topics. One of them involves global platforms positioning around the Internet things. And then we're going to shift gears and get into compliance, certification, composition models with two presenters. Again, Hank Chavers and Steve Wyman will come on board. And we talked offline about those last two topics around compliance and certification. And we know there's going to be questions and a lot of interaction on that topic. So what Hank's going to do is he's going to try and abbreviate a little bit this IoT thing. By the way, you're all going to get access to these slides. They've been given to the organizers here, and I'm sure they're going to give you a link or give you some access to this. So if he moves through this a little bit quicker than normal, that's with our apologies. I think he'll probably get through it in about, 15, 20 minutes or something like that? Okay. And then we'll transition into his other topic and get into some meatier things before we break with a hard stop at 12:15 for lunch. So thanks for that, and once again, Hank Chavers.
Now, in your program, on the description of this meeting, this is supposed to be done by Phil Hoyer for HID, and I'm standing in for him. So these are his slides that I'm speaking to. Oh, I'm going to just fly through them because I don't know what he wants to say. And I get Kevin last, but nobody else does. Come on. I know my sense of humor is terrible, but you can at least, try. Okay. So let's walk through these. So one of our big pushes at Global Platform is to understand what is the need around the Internet of Things, as in what does this mean for this new concept of 50 billion plus devices connected to the Internet, and how is that going to be done, and how does Global Platform fit into that? So we're going to go over this presentation. I'm going to try to highlight the main points so we can understand exactly kind of where we fit, but I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this area. If you want to talk to me either at lunch or have questions at the end, if we have time, I'd be glad to field them then. Okay? So the first thing is go to my glasses. So we did a survey inside of Global Platform of our members, and what is the most important thing for coming in the next, say, 5 years? And our members identified out of the, seven things they come up, three of those were around IoT, wearables, M2M, so forth. So this is a very big push for the membership of Global Platform, realizing that this is the future of where we're heading. And how we secure these technologies, or how we secure these systems together. So we have several different types of devices that are out there that are be part of an IoT infrastructure. We have smart thermometer, smart thermostat, I should say. We have different devices that are connected together, whether it be some type of identity or other system. And the biggest question is what are security requirements that all these things require when they're talking to each other? So IoT, we need to look at how do we adopt security technologies into this new ecosystem. So this is an example below from something that was done on BSI. BSI, again, at German Technology Institute, or it's the Federal Technology Institute of Germany, basically. And one thing they've discovered is that a real-world example is their smart meters that are connected to the homes. They could tell what a person was watching on TV based on the electrical pulses going through the system. It was not that they're watching the cable feed. They're watching electrical pulses. And so they could tell what was going on. So they realized there's a need to separate out the ability for the meters to do their job without actually infringing on the privacy rights of the individual. So they come up with the idea of having a localized security gateway, localized system. The circle there in the secure element is basically a system that runs an application that can that the meters can talk to, and that then it can filter and send the information necessary up to the management system. The idea is that the management system never sees all the fluctuations that the meters do. The secure element application is managing that. And if your secure element application being local to the user is not something they have to worry about, you know, being out of their possession. However, it is a secure system, so they can't have access to it either. So it is trusted, it's secure, provides that privacy gateway between a system in the home and a monitoring network out on the web, out on the cloud. Okay. So this is one example of where the security technologies have been realized. This is where this is the reason we need them. So we have some stuff here as well as the from legislative landscape, or those, what is changing as far as how the regulations and laws are being written to address this privacy and the security systems. And I'll save all the text for your pleasure later. Make sure and read this when you go to bed. Help you go to sleep. And again, nobody laughed. Man, my sense of humor is terrible, I know. So some of the use cases we go around. So first, we talked about last session with Alexander about identity. And the question is about, when you're talking about Internet of Things, is the ownership of something, or administration, configuration, access control, as in, are they authenticated to talk to me or not? The user interface, the delegated authorization. In other words, on consent on behalf of another person. And also the communication security, whether it's device to device or device to cloud. So these use cases that our IoT task force has addressed in these as they're putting together requirements on what are we going to do? How are we going to address this? So an identity use case, to dig down this for just a moment. So some of the use cases for identity itself is stuff like opening doors or having special access to labs, secure printing, parking, ticketing, workflow optimization. So many different use cases that are identified simply for the fact that you have on your wrist or in your pocket some type of identity that's connected to your surroundings. And the triggering the identity is, in other words, what are some of the ways we want to make sure this works? So we want to make it frictionless as possible. So basically, no user interaction. As a person approaches the door, he taps his phone, the door opens. As frictionless as possible. Something as a tap, as mentioned, being able to make it as interactive as easy. In other words, a tap trigger something happening, or a gesture or a dialogue. A gesture being you twist your phone a certain way, or you dialogue is and you say something to the door, open sesame, whatever it may be. And also the idea of a notification or an explicit user interaction, as in prompting for something to happen. So we mentioned in this slide FIDO. How many here are familiar with the organization called FIDO? So a few people, good. So FIDO stands for Fast Identity Online, and they are working on how to use identity over a system in order to provide a way to secure the identity on a local device and have authenticated on a back-end device. Okay. And they're putting their specifications through on how to do that. And we have partnered with them rather closely on how to secure that identity on the local device. Okay. So one of the things that we've also discovered, probably, I don't know if that's the right way of saying it, It's the fact that you really can't, in the case of Bluetooth or BLE, you really can't pair future. In other words, you can't approach a door and have it automatically know who you are. A brand new system. I'm a Hilton Honors member. When I approach the door with a Hilton Honors card, there's no way for me to pair automatically, or in other words, no way for them to know whether I am there for that room or not. My room is happening right next to the lounge. Where am I going into? Which door? So there is the need for having a need to have a little more interaction, just simply like a BLE type pairing. So the other question is what carries that identity? So kind of a corny little slide here, but the question is, how many times have you placed your phone down in your house and then have no idea where you put it? Well, some couple people smile. That's nice. For me, I put it down on Friday night, and I pick it up sometime on Sunday. And if somebody tried to call me on Saturday, I'm sorry. That's my day off, and I put it away, and sometimes Sunday I'm looking for it. Where did I put it down at now? I threw it all when I got home and don't know quite where it landed. Yeah, I have a rugged case online. But the question is, is a smartphone enough? So understand we have multiple applications and multiple form factors when we're talking about IoT. We have the phone that opens doors and buys our coffee. We have the bracelet that monitors your heart rate, opens your gym locker. A fob lets you into your home or logs into your email. Your biometric fob starts your car. Friendly face to open a door, as in facial recognition or something similar. And a student ID stopwatch, app to pay your books and doors. So many different types of form factors, many types of applications, many different ways of identifying a user. Right. And on top of that, we have many types of wearables. So from the single-purpose devices like a wristband to a multi-purpose device, as mentioned, Fitbit and Jawbone, to a high-end wearable, some type of device with a rich UI. And when we add multi-purpose, multi-application, we require some type of interaction there. So in other words, the idea of having an applet or having lifecycle management, in other words, application running that you can manage on a multi-application, multi-purpose device. And it went back to the same slide. Okay. Oh, no, a little bit different. Sorry about that. The global platform technologies that relate to these different types, different systems. So the first one, for a single purpose, we have either the global platform, like a secure element or TEE. Is that really what is needed for a single purpose? It communicates with NFC, UHF, BLE, other systems. The next is the multipurpose. Again, it's communicating over BLE or NFC or a combination of those systems. And low platform technologies that can be used in this is the secure element or TEE again. And finally, the high-end system. We also need some way to, if it has a user interface, some way of making sure the user interface is also secure. We mentioned earlier a trusted user interface, so a TUI, secure UI system. So where are we today as far as our working global platform? So we currently have the NFC to an SC covered with our specifications. The same thing with a remote application management to the SC. The remote application management over IP to the TE is under work. And all the other estimation points are stuff that needs to be done yet. And one of our things we're looking at now is the BLE. How do we address these? And this is something we've just launched a new work group on addressing the BLE communication, in other words, Bluetooth communication for our secure system, secure messaging. So some of our understanding here already is our understanding how this works. Basically, is the BLE channel over a device to a global platform Bluetooth specification, a Bluetooth channel, using a global platform profile. And also another way is using a Bluetooth tunneling, in other words, some kind of agent to talk to the SC or TE. So in one case, we have a discovery of a global platform secure component on a device, and then to be able to communicate to that component once you determine what it is, whether it's a SC or a TE. So this is our future direction where our requirements are specified. And that is the last slide I have on the Internet of Things and how we're addressing it. So, Kevin, I did that in about 15 minutes. Are we back on schedule? So it is 11:10, and the next person you get to listen to is me. So do y'all have any questions for me before I get it? Y'all have any questions for me before I transition slide decks? Okay. So hearing none, now we get a little more technical discussion. I'm going to try to keep this at a relatively high level again, which is not a, unfortunately, well, let me say this. We have a three-day CAR training, and one half of the day is going into the compliance certification of one of those days. So I can't cover in 15 minutes. We'll be covering about 4 hours. So just to let you know, this is a very high level. I will be glad to talk to you afterwards if you wanted more information on basically what our certification, compliance models, composition model all means. At the end of this, Steve's going to come up and also talk a little bit more about the composition model and how it applies to specific use cases. Okay? So it's my job to set the groundwork. So first thing is the security and compliance. We feel a tie together. So we have the idea of having a reliable or liability that creates our risk management system, risk mitigation. We do compliance testing, mainly for interoperability work, and we do a security evaluation for the trustworthiness. So all this is tied together to provide a solution that is trusted by the users, or by our customers, let me rephrase that. So the way we do this now, we produce a specification, we produce a configuration based on that specification that describes how that specification is supposed to be used, in other words, deployed into the real world. And we do a series of tests against it with our test tools, with test laboratories, and also with a product. And I'll go into this a little bit deeper in a few moments. Yes. Sure. So as I go through this, I'll let you know if I'm going to go a little bit deeper on a particular slide. If I don't say I'm going deeper and I'm not deep enough, ask me a question and I'll try to answer it. If not, I'll take it offline with you later. Okay? Or in some cases, Steve may answer it and follow me. Okay? So the Gold Platform Compliance Program is set up specifically for the secure elements. So I mentioned at the beginning of our presentation that the secure element is certified by another body. There's either Common Criteria or by EMV recognized certification. We build our Gold Platform system is built on top of those, of a secure element of a Java card, a Multos card, or other type of secure element that has been certified and has the Gold Platform system inside of it. We then do the compliance program based on the different kind of configurations that are market focused. So as in a UICC configuration, a 2.11 mapping, which basically means the 2.1 specs were used extensively on credit cards a few years back, and they're still very much being used today. So we have a configuration that maps the current 2.2 specs back to the 2.1 that allows for your current implementation to work on a past system. We also have the common implementation configuration that allows for the secure element vendor to have their product certified or compliance approval based on a common implementation. And we also have the ID configuration that meets some of the ID requirements for our different markets focus.
So is that
yes.
Trademark or is that user identity?
Say which one, I'm sorry? Specific market focus, market focus. So in other words, the ID configuration is specifically set up to work with a vendor that does ID or has ID requirements. So the specifications or the configuration for the ID is taking the specifications and saying, okay, for the ID, you must do it this way. So the specifications is a toolbox that allows you to do almost anything Global Platform you want to do. The configuration says, okay, we need to implement it this way in order for this market. That is in also for UICC. There are certain things that the UICC needs to align to that is outside or that limits the configuration or limits the specifications. Okay?
Quick question.
Yeah. Should be. We recognize Common Criteria certification, and it is Everybody recognizes Common Criteria, and most everybody recognizes EMV, at least those that want to use our cards, right? Yes. You want to add something, Steve? You have a question in the back?
Just add to this dumb question. I think he's asking is Global Platform looking to move the protection profile of the TD protection profile into a collaborative protection profile, which is then recognized mutually across all the schemes?
I would say no. We're looking at the protection profile has been recognized or has been certified by the Common Criteria. And we're using that protection profile to do our own certification system. Okay. Did I confuse you more?
Well, I mean, a protection profile is just a protection profile that comes to the national one, so it's tied to particular countries.
So TE is a TE is kind of a little bit of a well, it's not hardware based, so you don't have a hardware basis or a that bottom that platform level type of a system with a TE. So there's the protection profile identifies all the way the TE will communicate inside of a mobile operating system, right? And all the channels it has in and out. Now, Common Criteria has looked at that and has approved that that protection profile or certified the protection profile that said this all of these tests you run will generate a EAL, I think it's a level 2 certified type product. Now, it's not going through Common Criteria for certification. We're doing a certification ourselves. So, and because it is a Go platform certification, we're holding all the certification recognition. Okay? But we're talking here specifically of this slide about the secure element system. The secure element is what is these profiles attached to, not to a TEE. Okay? So, and we don't use the word certified here on the secure element. The secure element is certified through Common Criteria or EMV. We use a compliance testing to make sure it is compliant to our particular profile. Okay? So, when we put this together for the Go Platform Compliance Program, we also created an ecosystem of test tools, test labs, and the products. So a test tool is produced mostly by a test lab, and a Go Platform member, or non-member for that matter, can run their implementation through a test tool, purchase a test tool from the test lab, run that test tool by their implementation and make sure everything works, and get a self-certified mark or a self-compliant mark. Or they go through the test lab itself, undergo the test lab testing, and get a full compliance mark. And I'll go through this structure and it's just on the next slide. So the work groups in Go Platform produce the specifications and the configurations. Those configurations are then used to do a coverage and test suite. In other words, make sure that there is the CAR compliance work group make sure that their test suite that they produce covers all of the different possibilities that configuration brings up. They do the test suite development, and out of that we have also the test suite produced as well as their maintenance for that test suite as new systems are added or as specifications are updated. We use a test vest method in order to test out to make sure the test suites and everything is working correctly. So while our test tool will go through a test vest to become qualified against that particular suite of test cases. We also have test labs go through the same test vest process. And as they test their selves, they become a qualified test lab. And finally, a product will go through the testing in a test vest through a test tool and will determine whether they have whether their claim to be compliant with Global Platform is a good claim or if it's not a good claim, as in there are some issues. And so there's a test report that is generated from the test tool vendor that identifies whether this product is compliant with the Global Platform configuration or not. Now, we also have an external group, authorized organization that helps with the creation of the test system. And we also have what's called the test or the compliance secretariat. Now, the compliance secretariat is a contracted organization to Go Platform that manages all this test fest and all of the test suites to make sure everything is ready and it'll be used. Now, we're currently the compliance manager or certification manager for the GSMA for their embedded UICC program. So as a embedded UICC vendor is producing a product, they go through our test process to adhere to the GSMA standards, saying that they do meet, know where they are, being considered a GSMA certified product.
Is there an API or someplace you can look to see which products are certified?
In a moment. I got a slide. So for the TE certification, it is a little bit different way of a different approach. The CE certification, we still use a multi-market recognized certification scheme. Basically, the common criteria based system using a protection profile. We use a two-phase process, though. We first evaluate the system on a board. It goes through an internal testing to make sure everything is correct on a board level system, and they get a certified certificate based on their board level implementation. After that implementation from the board side, it goes into a device. It is then goes back through the testing at a device level this time. And at device level adds other types of testing to it, especially the interface type testing. And after that testing is done and passed, they get a certified for the device. And so our evaluation scope is the OS, the hardware features on a device, and also a secure boot. And this is being run by the TE Certification Secretariat. So another organization that is outsourced or contracted to the Global Platform to make sure everything is run according to rules. So, yes.
How does this compete against this PCT or Infrastructure Security Module? Because there also you have a similar scope of testing and, competing against, right?
But a TCG is, or a TPM is a different types of system than a secure element. They are complementary in the fact that they both do secure boot and they both have a very secure system. But the TPM is basically there for a root of trust on a PC. The secure element is a multi-application environment that is a different type of a model. So they both have their markets, and we're very similar on our certification schemes. Sorry, what was that first?
So the pretty much all laptops and all come with this.
Sure.
The unified EFI, right? The secure boots.
Right.
So it means there was already a public key installed on this on the TPM kind of.
Sure, but the secure boot is good for possibly a PC. When we're talking about a mobile device or other systems, when you want to start storing credentials in a device, a TPM is not able to store credentials. All it is able to do is to make sure the application running is secured. But you want to make sure that you want to have other functionality. So there is there's a different use case for each one of those too. As far as the secure boot, the TEE does a secure boot on the operating system when a device boots up. That is very similar to what a TPM does. We do have a strong collaboration with the TCG. When we first went down the TEE path, we established a relationship with TCG in order to make sure that what we did worked with their current system and not with something that we're totally separate on as far as how we work.
All right. I do see that it's kind of like a little overlapping, and I hope there is some kind of collaboration.
Sure.
Kind of a unified API, because I see that it's similar algorithms, but it's being multiple ways is being pulled into, right? The certifications and time invested, and then ROI is just not there.
So, sure.
Some kind of industry collaboration or collaboration.
Sure, that's a good question. The collaboration between us and TCG has been rather good, and I know that we have a lot more to address, especially in a case when we're talking about the TE on a device that is going to a tablet. So now we have just not a mobile device, but now we have a tablet that's also almost a computer replacement, and that's where kind of a big overlap comes into play. And so there's questions about how can we work together, especially with a common API or other systems, in order to make the acceptance of both easier. That is still work to be done. Yes?
How much is the effort to make, the DOT, whatever, the TE, that vendors implementation to your reference board, so in your opinion, I mean, you probably have a couple of people did that. How much is the effort for them to, they have to change something in order to work on your reference board, right? How much is
I'm not sure I'm the right person to answer that. So we have, I don't know if we have any TE vendors in the room. I don't think. So he might be able to talk to you about it. But because it is, we start talking about how much effort does it take to change the implementation from one to another. You're talking very much business, what they can.
I don't think usually people do this kind of certification that they have to put on the reference board. I mean, that's very unique, right? You provide your platform feed, other one can really.
Sure. So let me state here that the reference board implementation, reference board starting here, is the fact that a lot of vendors want to get their TE. Let me phrase it this way. So a lot of the vendors that do TEs do not do mobile devices, okay? So they produce a TE on a reference on their own chipset, their own PCB board. They bring it through to get certified. They can then sell that to a Samsung or other mobile device manufacturer that then puts it into their device, and they come back through to certification and make sure that when they integrate into the device, they didn't break anything, or all the interfaces that are now going to that TEE are still secure. Okay? Does that help you?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes. Yes.
Could you elaborate more on the derivative process? Are there more testing now, or are you just comparing test results?
So what we're looking at is that when we have a second testing.